In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Remember that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, giving your mortal bodies life. Oh, we don't think of that enough. We do not pray that enough. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and gives your body life. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was dead, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he became a living spirit, resurrected. Hallelujah. The first fruits of resurrection we shall follow when he comes in glory. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I want you to know that today as I continue with the Acts of the Apostles. I continue with Acts 26, and the scripture says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You may speak your defense.'" Well, Paul, you know what Paul's going to do. Paul's going to tell his witness to Agrippa. What does he want from Agrippa? He wants Agrippa and Bernice to enter into the life of grace. He is an evangelist, and he is going to preach to Agrippa. St. Paul, gesturing with the hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all those accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently." So Paul makes sure that Agrippa is going to listen to him, because he is going to preach salvation. Oh yes, I tell you, we need to preach salvation to people. The people are lost, and there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. We need to preach salvation. And you know, our brothers and sisters that are evangelical, they preach salvation. Do you know what Paul the Sixth says? That salvation begins with the house of God. That we need to preach salvation. He said that in one of his letters that he wrote on evangelization. We need to preach salvation. You know, salvation is for the whole man, because then the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in the person who was saved. "If you would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest set of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors." Yes, I am on trial because the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in Jesus has been fulfilled, and this is what I proclaim. "In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worshipped God night and day, that they share the same hope that I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead?" Oh yes, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. "I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. I authorized by leading priests. I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death at Stephen. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. We see that Paul did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The main reason is that cursed is the man who dies on a cross, and Jesus Christ died on a cross, but he became a curse so that we might become the very righteousness of God. Oh, Paul does the best he can as he interprets the scriptures wrong. One day, I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with authority and commissioned by the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. Oh, yes, what is that? That's the glory of God. The glory of God. I tell you, that's the presence of God. That's the Shekinah glory. That's the glory that's heavy, 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 but not heavy bad, but heavy good. And he continues, about noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. To persecute the body of Christ is to persecute the head, I tell you. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You see, Paul is preaching to Agrippa about how his life was changed. We need to do the same. Maybe our conversion story isn't very dramatic. You use the one you have. You use the one you have. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So we see that the mission of Paul is to the Gentiles, but he always goes to the synagogue first, gets thrown out, and then goes to the Gentiles. Then they will receive forgiveness, the Gentiles, for their sins, and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. And so, Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things that they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried even to kill me, but God has protected me right up to this present time, so that I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. He's testifying to whom? To Agrippa. Why do you think he's doing this? He wants Agrippa's soul. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. Remember, the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That's who the gospel is to. Suddenly Festus shouted, Paul, you're insane. Too much study has made you crazy. But Paul replied, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do, Paul said. Agrippa interrupted him. Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? Oh, you see, his witness is that Agrippa and Festus would come to believe in Jesus, come to believe in the cross, come to believe in the blood, come to believe in the resurrection. Agrippa interrupted Paul, do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, a Christian, except for the chains that I wear." Chains, C-H-A-I-N-S. You see, Paul has one vision in front of him, and the vision is Jesus Christ, and he's going to preach to Jesus Christ. And God told him that after Jerusalem, he is to go to Rome, and Paul wants to witness to Caesar about Jesus Christ. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we see Agrippa hearing the word of God. Then King, the governor Bernice, and all the others stood and left. As they went out, they talked it over and agreed, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar." Oh yes, he appealed to Caesar. Why? Because he was struck with whips, and you shall not whip a Roman citizen. So he's on his way to Rome. I'm telling you, Paul has one vision in front of his eyes, and the vision is Jesus Christ. What vision do you have in front of your eyes? Do you have all the bills that you can't pay? Are you afraid today? Do you not know that Jesus is in charge of your life? Do you not know that God has something for you? Do you not know that it's all right to look up and see Jesus, and see Jesus above all your troubles, stepping on your troubles? Do you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and by his death and resurrection, he has freed us from sin, and he has a plan for your life? I often say, Jesus is the man with the plan. Do you know that? Do you know that today, that Jesus is the man with the plan? Let me continue. Paul sails for Rome. "When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment, and Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was Adramyum, on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul. The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so that he could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course, so we sailed north to Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy and put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But wind was against us, so we sailed across Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island past the Cape of Salamone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty, and finally we arrived at Fair Haven near the town of Lasia. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for the sea travel because it was late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Paul said, "Men, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger for our lives as well." See, Paul is a prophet, and he sees these things in the future if we continue to go the way we're going. "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain than the owner, than to Paul. And since Fairhaven was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix farther up the coast of Crete and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of a typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Coda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard, the lifeboat being towed behind us. You see, Paul knew there was going to be trouble, but they didn't listen to him. Paul had that insight from God that there was going to be trouble, and we know what happened. Ultimately, there's going to be a shipwreck. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Citrus from the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as the gale-force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard, just as Paul said that they would. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. You see, you listen to the man of God, but they thought that the captain had more wisdom. But the man of God saw, in the name of Jesus, what was going to happen to the ship. The man of God saw this. He saw it in a vision or in a dream. I tell you, today I was told that someone who comes to our School of the Holy Spirit, she had a dream, and I was right in front of her, and I said to her, I need you to pray for me. She said she heard my voice, and she said, I've been praying for Father Tom. Imagine my voice and my being in front of her saying, I need your prayers. Well, you know what, people? I need your prayers too. Maybe you haven't had a dream about Father Tom, but I need your prayers for my brother, that he get healed, for my cousin who is having an operation, and for my other cousin who has cancer in the anus. Let me tell you that this is something. The next day, as the gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began to throw cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. What does it sound like? It sounds like Jonah. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, Men, you shall have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more is God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. I tell you, you see, this is the prophetic word. This is the prophetic word that God wants to give people. You know, I know the prophetic word is my people, I love you, that's fine. But we need a prophetic word, like if we're going on a ship, that this is going to be shipwrecked, that we don't get on it. I remember a man who was running away from the Lord. And this man, he was running away from the Lord, and he took a plane someplace, and the plane crashed, and everyone died but him. God had a purpose for his life, and he finally gave in to the purpose. Everyone died but him. and he knew that God saved his life because God had a plan for his life. I tell you, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. When God speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do. Make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. You know, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as it says in the psalm. Today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as it says in the psalm. About midnight on the fourteenth night of the storm, as we were being driven across the sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near, and they dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later they measured again and found it was 90 feet deep. At this rate they were afraid that we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore, so they threw out 4 anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. When the sailors tried to abandon the ship, they lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put on anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." So the soldiers cut the ropes in the lifeboat and let it drift away. You see, they're finally getting the message that Paul is a prophet and he knows what to do, not only in spiritual matters, but in matters that pertain to life. The prophetic is not only for spiritual matters. I am not talking about fortune telling. I'm talking about the prophet that God anoints. When the God says, you know, don't travel this way because you're going to be shipwrecked, you follow what God says. But you see, they didn't. They didn't follow what God says. They followed what the captain said. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to be put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay abroad." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. "You have been so worried. You haven't touched food for 2 weeks." He said, "Please eat something now for you and for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish." Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them, and broke it off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were aboard. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. When morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastland, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if it could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off all the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship struck fast, while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of waves and began to break apart. Again, you listen to the prophet. When the prophet speaks a word, you listen to the prophet. Very interesting, because God has given us prophetic people, and prophetic people are to be listened to. I told you about John Paul Jackson. When he saw me I was in lay clothes, he said, "I saw in your mouth a golden megaphone, and the Lord is telling me you're in a little room and you're reaching many people." Well, you know what? He knew nothing about me. He knew nothing about me. He said, "Oh, I'm giving you the Teresa of Avila anointing." Well, I don't know if I've received that yet, but he was right on with what I was doing. Imagine, he knew in the spirit that I was in a little room speaking the word of God, and many people were being blessed. Now, he didn't know I was on radio. He had no idea. But he says, "I don't know what all this means, but I think you know." So I said, "Yes, John Paul, I know because I am on radio, and I broadcast from a little room, and I still broadcast from a little room. And he said, well, many people are being blessed. Then he said to me, you know, I pray with you, and I see you giving away. You give away food. You give away money. You give away the teachings. You give away everything that God gives you. He didn't know me. He didn't know me, but he knew in the spirit that this was reality. He knew in the spirit that this was reality. That, you know what, if someone comes to my door and they're hungry, you know what, they're going to get food. Just yesterday, I gave a big, big bowl of pasta to somebody who has several children. And she said, how did you know that we needed this? I never answered. She was just on my mind. And God did not say, so-and-so needs this. But she was on my mind, and I said, we're not throwing this pasta away. We're going to give it to so-and-so, and to so-and-so we gave it. Today, I want to say I need to hear from you. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit between the 20th and the 26th of July. Yes, for further information, 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. I will be there. Maria Vadia will be there. Julie Meyer will be there. Linda Coons will be there. Amy Lou, it will be there. It's going to be a great and awesome time. So I'm inviting you between the 20th and the 26th. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.